All right. If you have your Bibles, John chapter 21, verse number 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately that night, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. That's the reading of John chapter 21, verses 1 through 7. Tonight we want to preach on this thought. Compassion to the right side. We know in John chapter 21 that the Lord Jesus Christ has already been crucified. He has been buried, and he has now risen again. He has appeared multiple times to his disciples and many others, and he has shown himself. Simon Peter, who had denied the Lord Jesus Christ three different times and had been forgiven and had been restored into discipleship, all of a sudden, in verse 3 says, I go a-fishing. That's what he was doing when the Lord called him to be a disciple. When the Lord called him to become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a fisherman. Now all of a sudden he says, I go a-fishing. And he got six other people to go with him. Because typically when somebody leaves to justify their actions, they never go alone. They always want someone to go with them. The Bible says that they fished all night long, and it says they caught nothing. Of course, the Lord is not going to bless them walking away from his call upon their lives. Jesus stood on the shore. They didn't know it was recognized Jesus. He said to them, children, have you any meat? And they said, no. He told them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. And when they did it, there were so many, they couldn't draw them all in to the ship. Now, it's interesting to me, why the right side? Well, because Jesus knew the fish were on the right. Well, that's true. Why the right side? Well, it's because it's a test of obedience. Well, that's true. But why the right side? So, begin to study about the right side. A lot of different thoughts God gave me. I want to start in Leviticus chapter number 8. We'll read the text tonight. In Leviticus chapter number 8, I want to turn back. We're Bible school. We'll study a little bit here. Leviticus chapter 8. And I want to look in verse number 14. And he brought the bullock for sin offering. And Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the bullock for the sin offering. And he slew it. And Moses took the blood and put it upon the horns of the altar round about with his finger and purified the altar and poured the blood at the bottom of the altar and sanctified it to make reconciliation upon it. Skip down to verse 18. And he brought the ram for the burnt offering. Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the ram, and he killed it. And Moses sprinkled the blood upon the altar round about. Look at verse 21, verse 22. And he brought the other ram. So we have three different sacrifices. Three, an interesting number, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He brought the other ram, the ram of consecration. And Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the ram, and he slew it. And Moses took of the blood of it, and put it upon the tip of Aaron's right ear, and upon the thumb of Aaron's, of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. Thus the Lord took the right side, and he anointed or consecrated the priests for their office. And we realize then, we're never going to work for the Lord until we have first been washed in the blood. In Luke chapter 14, we see this theme continuing. Luke chapter 14, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper. What is the leper? He is a sinner. The law of the leper in his day of cleansing. Okay? We see, let's skip down to verse number 14. The priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. Now the leper that has been cleansed, it is representing a sinner that has been saved. It is a matter of the blood. Amen. Our sins are atoned for, covered, and washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse number 16, the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand, and shall sprinkle of the oil with his finger 7 times before the Lord, and the rest of the oil that is in his hand shall the priest put upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, upon the blood of the trespass offering. So the leper being cleansed has been atoned for by the blood. It's on his right ear, it's on his right thumb, and his right big toe. And then oil is also put in those same areas. Put this down in your mind. In fact, I wrote it down in the margin of my Bible. I wrote, you will never get the oil till you first get the blood. You will never have the Holy Spirit's presence in your life till you first been washed in the blood. I don't care who you are. There's no other way that you're going to have anything if you don't go through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the right side has been marked separately from the left side. The left side represents our flesh. We have a flesh. The right side represents our salvation of our soul, of our spirit, and one day of our body. I preach body, soul, and spirit. Right now, my body, I'm saved, but it's going to be saved, right? It still has a warfare against my soul and my spirit, trying to draw me off into trouble all the time. So, I wanted to look tonight in the book of Luke, chapter 22. Let's go to the New Testament. The book of Luke, chapter 22. And we're looking for the right side. Compassion for the right side. Luke, chapter 22, verse 47. We see the Lord has marked the right side separate from the left. Verse 47. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Bible says, while he yet spake, behold a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. Now it's interesting to me that here is a man, John chapter 18, parallel passage, tells us that this man's name was Malchus. He was the high priest's servant. John chapter 18 also gives us more information and says that it was Simon Peter that drew the sword and chopped off Malchus's right ear. This is mentioned in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all four Gospels. And Luke is the Gospel that tells us that Jesus healed this man. Tonight when I think about there is compassion to the right side, because when that right ear was cut off, it severed his perception. Again in the Garden of Gethsemane, Judas draws near. He betrays the Lord Jesus Christ with a kiss. It is an action of affection, but it was a betrayal. The disciples said, Lord, shall we smite with a sword? His disciples are ready to fight. They're ready to go to war. Without waiting for an answer, Simon Peter grabbed his sword and whacked off, chopped off, sliced off severed off the high priest's servant's right ear. Jesus said, suffer ye thus far. What he means is, no more. That's enough. Stop. And he touched his ear and he healed him. I just want to say three things and I'm done. Number one, when I see this passage of scripture, I see spontaneous conduct. What does that mean? The right ear of this man was cut off by someone who seemed to be spiritual. It was someone who used the sword unskillfully. Now the book of Ephesians teaches us about the sword of the Spirit. There's also a sword of the flesh. Your tongue. Things you say, things, I'm telling you, you can slice somebody up to pieces with your words. This, I'm going to call Peter a backslid preacher. I believe that his intent was to chop off the head of Malchus, the high priest's servant. He didn't attack a soldier, because he's a kind of coward, but he went after the high priest's servant, and I believe he came from behind, and when he took his sword, meaning to chop off his head, he was so angry and so bent out of shape, or maybe the servant dodged a little bit, but he missed chopping off his head, and from behind, he chopped off his right ear. Now, Simon Peter was impulsive. Simon Peter's intent is to kill. Simon Peter says, I'm going to defend Jesus. I want to say tonight, if you're a preacher, I'm aiming this right at you. Jesus does not need you to defend him. He is well able to defend himself. There's been a lot of people that got caught up in the flesh trying to make a spiritual stand and got themselves in a mess and chopped off somebody's ear and severed their perception of truth. I want to read out, you're going to hold your place here, but Matthew 16, I just want to read the scripture. In Matthew 16, in verse number 15, Jesus saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Do you see that Simon Peter has been connected to heaven? He's speaking with a heavenly tongue. But in verse 21, from that time forth, began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him. Those words in the Greek mean that Simon Peter would have taken the Son of God by the shoulders and pulled him off to the side, and he says, the Bible says, he took him and he began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Imagine a fisherman taking the creator of the universe, grabbing him by the shoulders and telling him, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Trying to tell the Lord how things ought to be. Have you ever done that? Do you do it in your prayer life, telling the Lord how it ought to be? Oh no, not me, preacher. Do you ask him or do you tell him? I'm just asking you. Do you ask him in prayer? Do you seek his face or do you tell him? This is what you need to do. Hello, I'm talking to you. Simon Peter began to rebuke the Lord. Verse 23. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. It's amazing then how you can be in touch with heaven one minute and the next minute be in touch with hell. James chapter 4 verse 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist him. Don't go with him. Turn around on him. Somebody said to me one time, said, "Preacher Darren, I'm not having any opposition from the devil." Well, turn around. That means you're going with him. If you're not having any opposition, you're going with him. Turn around. Resist him. See how it turns out then. Now, some people would say, "I want to tell the devil, get me behind me, Satan." Honey, I can't say that to him. I don't want him behind me. I don't trust him. I only let people in my life and around me that I trust. And I don't trust that egg-sucking coward, the devil. I don't want him behind me. The only person that can say, "Get thee behind me, Satan," is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he's protected from the devil. In fact, that's what the Lord said basically when he was in the wilderness. It's some of the very same words that he said even there. Now, the Bible does say in the next verse, "Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you." Here is a preacher that's clumsy with the sword, and he's hacked and slashed and slaughtered the sheep. I believe that there are Sundays that there are people that come into Bethel to hear the word of God, and I pray that when I get up to preach that I'm not unskillful, that I'm not clumsy with the sword of the Spirit, just chopping people's ears off. Listen, I used to go preach a lot of meetings. I still preach a few. And I've been in places where I followed a preacher that used very unsavory words in the pulpit. And people would hardly come to the meeting because they were offended because of some of the things that he said that were out of character for a man of God to say. I do not want to be affiliated with people who use words in the pulpit that you ought not to say in the world. It's got no place. And I'm not going to run with that crowd. Will you hear me for a second? My granddaddy, when I told him I was going to be a preacher, he said to me, he said, "Son, come with me." We went to the barnyard. He had chickens. He took his chicken feed. He said, "Here, chick, chick, chick." He'd take his hand and put it down in, y'all know what lard is? He'd put his hand down in an old lard can that had chicken feed in it. He'd dip it out, and them little chickens would come running everywhere. And then he said, "To watch this, son." And he took a handful of the chicken feed and he throwed it at them. And they scattered and run every which way. And I just watched Grandpa. And then all of a sudden he went back to hear chick, 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 but they wouldn't come back. Gradually, a little baby rooster put his head around the corner, a little black, and he was the first one to kind of sort of come out. And when he came out, then the rest of them started saying, "Oh, it's okay, we can come back." You wonder sometimes why people don't come to our church. Are we skillful with how we teach in our Sunday school classes? Are we skillful with what we're saying from our pulpits and skillful with what we're preaching in our pulpits and what we're singing in our choirs? If we decide we at the church are going to be judgy judgers and look down our Christian nose and be an old church lady or an old church man and look down at everybody, that's why they don't come. Because they know they're going to be met with judgment. In fact, if you knew you would be met with judgment, bless God, you wouldn't come either. And neither would I. The Lord said, it's better for you to take your right eye and cast it out. Amen. And to enter into heaven with that one left eye than to have that one right eye that's a judgy judger. We've got to be careful. Grandpa said, "Do you understand what I mean here, son?" Just a little bit, he took that same feed and he put it on the toe of his shoe, and that black baby rooster came over and took that right off the toe of his shoe. And he said, "Son, do you hear what I'm telling you? If you'll feed them and love them, they'll come. But if you throw it at them and you try to chop their ears off with it, they're going to be in and out, and they're not going to come. You want them to act like they've been fed with sawbriars? Feed them sawbriars. But if you'll love them, you'll tell them the truth in love and tears. If they have to come and God reaches your heart, son, don't be afraid to weep in front of them. Don't be afraid to make a stand for Christ. Don't be afraid to rebuke them when it's time to rebuke them. But do it in love, and it'll work. They'll come. Just watch them little chickens. I'm telling you something. You can learn a lot of things on the farm. You know, people don't care how much you know until they find out how much you care. And if we in our school and we here in our classes, if we're throwing stuff at people, they're not going to come. So I'm asking you a question tonight. How, not what, how are you feeding the people? Oh, I'm feeding them the truth. I know preachers. I hope you're listening to me, young man. You're preaching the truth. Thank God for it. But you preach it so cold and so callous, and you become so much better than everybody else. Like you've never sinned and that you were never a sinner to start. That elitist attitude that you have is causing people to stay away from the truth of the gospel. Humble yourself. Preach the word of God. But you need to be just as small as everybody you preach to. In fact, you need to be smaller and you need to be uplifting them and encouraging them. So we see his spontaneous conduct. Number two, we see that he was severed by cutting. The right ear is the spiritual ear, the spiritual ear. Someone or maybe some situation, I'm talking to somebody tonight. Here you are in Bible school. Thank God for you on a Sunday evening. And there's been a time in your life someone severed your perception with their words. It may not have been a preacher that was unskillful with the word. It may have been a brother or sister with their words severed your perception. I want to say to you tonight, you need to be careful how you talk to other people. You be careful that you don't sever and cut off their spiritual ear and keep them from hearing the good word of God. And there's been times in my life that I've had my ears severed. And I'm not just talking about having my ears laid back because I needed it. I'm talking about somebody was offensive. And just by the grace of God, did I stay with it and come back. No doubt Malchus was in intense pain. No doubt he's been wounded. He's been slashed. No doubt his ear is cut off. And let me say this. So if your right ear is cut off, what's left? Well, I'm still here with my left ear. You know what you hear? Negative comments. Murmuring. Complaining. Well, usually, Preacher Darren, when you get up, it goes in one ear and out the other. That's a good sign that you're hearing me with your left ear, which is of the flesh. And something's happened to your right ear. Something's cut it off. Tonight, if you get your right ear back, what the Lord puts in your right ear, it'll go down. Amen? It'll get in your mind. It'll get in your heart. It'll help you, the good word of God. But I'm telling you, a lot of times we have our left ear, and all we hear is negative stuff. You may say, well, I just don't think God's speaking. I hear people say, I don't think God's speaking anymore. That's a pretty good sign your right ear's severed. Because God still speaks through His Word. God still speaks through His Spirit. God still speaks through His servants. Amen. God is still speaking if we would hear it. He's not quit speaking. The problem is our ears have become detached. Bethel, if you'll hear it, there's not a Sunday that we're not ministering to someone who's wounded. Someone who's had an ear severed. Someone who's hurting. Someone who's bleeding. Someone who needs restoration. They need to hear God speak. You need to identify with that. You wonder, well, so-and-so's in and then they're just kind of out. What? Maybe they were going somewhere where their ear got really severed and they're having a hard time. And you and I need to understand that and quit being judgers and looking down our nose at people. Amen. I want you to see, thirdly, the Savior's compassion. We're talking about compassion to the right side. Here's a man's ear that has been severed. His spiritual perception has been severed by someone who is unskillful with a sword. And what did Jesus do? The Bible says Jesus touched his ear and he healed him. Now, I don't know if the Lord reached down into the dust of, think about where he's at. He's in the garden of Gethsemane. It's a garden of suffering. It was where he started to drink the bitter dregs of our sin. It's where he surrendered to do the will of the Father. Not my will, but thy will be done. It's where he was in such agony that his blood became as great, or his sweat became as great drops of blood while he was in that garden. And in that place is where that man's ear got severed off, and maybe the Lord reached down into that Gethsemane dust and the breath of life, amen, blew the dust off of it and put it right back on his ear. Maybe that's how he did. Then again, maybe he just put his hand upon his ear and the Lord just sprouted him a new one. In fact, he's in the new creation business all the time, amen. When he saved me, he made me a brand new creation, amen. Now, I just want to point something out. It's very simple, very, very elementary. It's not much of an observation, but maybe, just maybe, Simon Peter was sorry that he used that sword before the Lord gave him permission. When the Lord said, suffer. In other words, just stop. Don't, no more. Quit. Quit what you're doing. Maybe Simon Peter thought, ooh, boy, I did say something rashly. I did say something harshly. You ever done that? I did come on too strong. I did say too much. You ever done that? And now he's sorry that he did it. Boy, I wish I went too far with it. Now I have a question. Can the one who severed the ear say, I'm sorry? Does that put his ear back on? Did Simon Peter reach down into the Gethsemane dust and say, here, Lord, knock the dust off this and put it back? I don't care how sorry you are. When you sever someone's spiritual perception, you cannot fix it. I will go one further. I believe in that garden, Jesus took three. They all went to the garden, but he took three to the a little further to the garden than everybody else. Does anybody know who they were? Peter, James, and John. So James and John are with Simon Peter. When Peter chopped off the high priest's servant's ear, there was James and John, brothers, the sons of thunder, who had said at one time, Lord, let's call down fire from heaven and burn up the village. These boys were pretty rough, tough boys. You think, I have a question for you. Do you think that Malchus, if Simon Peter can't put his ear back on, do you think Malchus can change churches and go to John, the beloved disciples' church, who preaches love, love, love? And do you think John can put his ear back on? I have a question. People try it all the time. I'm just going to change churches. He severed my perception that backslid preacher, come on too strong, he's wounded me, he's hurt me. I'm going to go down and see John the beloved, and I'll be restored. Does that put his ear back on? Did it? It did not, did it? The only one that can fix a severed perception is Jesus. He can fix it right where you are. Notice where they were when he fixed it. He fixed it in the garden of suffering. It was he that was going to be bruised, bloodied, and bludgeoned. It was he in the garden of suffering that restored his hearing. Now, it just may be that you've had your ear severed. Or maybe you have severed, God forbid, someone else's ear. I don't know. But I know this. The only way you can get your ear back and the only way they can get their ear back is something that Jesus must do. And you and I must refer the case to Jesus. I refer tonight this service to Jesus. I refer you as a congregation to Jesus. I refer our sharp words to Jesus. I refer our spiritual ear to Jesus. For whatever reason, back to John chapter 21. I'm done. John chapter 21. Simon Peter said, for some reason, I go a-fishing. What do you think caused him to want to go back to fishing? Do you think that maybe it was the fact he denied the Lord three times? Jesus forgave him. Was it the fact that he rebuked the Lord Jesus Christ and said, Lord, this be far from thee, Lord, be this not unto thee? He forgave him. Do you think it's the fact that he's got all the problems that he's got? Open mouth, insert foot. Why is it he went back to fishing? Has somebody slapped him on the cheek? I mean, There are those of us that's been slapped on the cheek and we need to renew the promises of God. Or do you think that maybe, just maybe, he was ashamed of chopping off the high priest's servant's ear? And though God forgave him, somebody came back and reminded him of it. You itinerant preacher. You're impulsive. You're too quick to speak. Shh. You need to be quiet. And Simon Peter said, you know what? I can't keep serving God. I can't stay in ministry. I can't attend church anymore. I can't sing in the choir anymore. You know why? Because I get hurt. And here's what happens when you get hurt. You build walls. And your wife, sir, and you do it as well, say, I ain't going to do that no more. We're not going to be part of it. I'm not going to get involved in that anymore. I found out it hurts. I'm telling you, it's not fixed. And until your spiritual ear gets fixed, you'll never be used of God the way you need to be used. And if there's ever been a time that this church or your family needs to be used of God, it's now. If you ever need to hear from heaven, it's now. God wants to greatly use Bethel Baptist Church. He showed me that, and he showed me that. And if someone has smitten you on the cheek, there's some spiteful procedures that need to be cleared up in your life, God's going to do it if you'll let him. And if there's some severed perception, and there is, just to be honest, God said, I'm interested in putting your hearing back on. If the Lord hadn't have done that, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, Simon Peter's ear would have been chopped off just as much as he chopped off Malchus's ear. That was the grace of God at work in his life. And when the Lord said, throw the net, cast the net on the right side, Simon Peter knew immediately, if it hadn't been for the Lord Jesus Christ, John's pointed out to the Lord, if it hadn't been for Jesus, where would I be? My ear would be chopped off. I'd be in a prison cell somewhere. I'd be on my way to hell if it weren't for Jesus. You know what he decided right then and there? I'm getting out of the fishing business, and I'm going to start serving the Lord Jesus Christ again. Read 1 Peter and 2 Peter and see. Here's a man who ended up being crucified upside down. Gave his life upside down for the cause of Christ. I'm just saying tonight, maybe there's somebody here. Maybe our whole church. Maybe your pastor. Maybe we as a church. We need our perception to hear from God restored. Some of us are hard of hearing. A little lady said to her husband, you cannot hear. I have told you, and you cannot hear. And we need to take you to the doctor. And the man would not go. So she booked an appointment and went for him. And she told the doctor, she said, Dr. Thomas, I'll have you know that he can't hear a thing. And he won't come see you. He's in such denial. And she said, what can I do? He said, get in a long hallway and check his hearing and come back to me and tell me how bad it really is. And so the next morning she got up early. And she cooked a big breakfast. And she said to him, she said, Harold, do you want bacon for breakfast? Not a word. Harold come on down the hall a little further. She said, Harold, I said, do you want bacon for breakfast? Not a word. I mean, he was 20 feet away. Now he's 10 feet. He gets 5 feet away. She says, Harold, I want to know for the third time, do you want bacon for breakfast? He said, for the third time, Ethel, I said yes. You see who had the spiritual perception hearing problem? It was not who we try to lay it off on. We need to examine ourselves. You stand to your feet. I wonder if there might be anybody here. Your head's bowed. There's nobody looking. I'm just going to ask, it's Bible school, but there might be somebody here. You might slip up to the altar and say, God, speak. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. God, would you speak to me? Lord, I want to hear you. There's people that come to church here that long to hear. I'm telling you, there's somebody that needs, y'all need to come. There's more than one that needs to come tonight. I mean, preacher, you've not chopped my... Listen, maybe, just maybe, we as a church need to get our hearing checked, that we'd be more in tune, quicker to respond, to do what he says. Is there anybody you need to come? Come on right now. God bless you. Thank you for being honest. God bless you. Thank you for being honest with God. Thank you for being honest. If you want to get your spiritual reception restored, if you want to check, if you want to get it fixed, you get on your knees right now. Come on. God bless you. God bless you. Maybe there's somebody come and say, pray for our church, that there'd be some young people this week that would hear from heaven, that God would be pleased to speak to them. And I'm not going to cut off any child's ear. I want them to hear the gospel. I pray that when we're in Bethel Church, that when our preacher preaches or when God wants to speak to us, that we are hearing what the Lord has to say. I pray for our preacher that that you'd guard his lips, that you'd help him to speak only what the Spirit speaks. Anybody else you need to come? Maybe you can't get on your knees. You might want to raise your hand. So, preacher, I'm going to raise my hand. Anybody want to pray for you tonight? Anybody? Let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you, Lord, we confess to you our sinfulness. And God, there's been times that we have severed ears. And God, I'm sorry. And Lord, I can never fix it. Only you can fix it. Lord, I pray, God, you'd help us, God, not to be dull of hearing, but help us, God, to be sensitive and discerning about the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Help us, God, not to be a bunch of judgy judgers. God, we judge everything. It's amazing how sinful we are with our judgmental attitudes, Lord, and we'll sit and say that we don't do it, and we do. God, would you forgive us, Lord? Would you help us, God, to be guarded and careful with our words and only speak what you would have us to speak? Lead us, guide us, help us, Lord. God, and for these, if there's one tonight, Lord, that's had their spiritual ear, if it's been a shaved, if it's been sliced, if it's been cut, Lord, I'm praying right now that in an instant, Lord, in an instant, you would get that ear and you would restore their hearing. Lord, this may have very well been the last miracle you performed before you went to the cross. And Lord, that miracle was that we might hear the Word of God, that we might hear what Jesus has to say. God, I pray tonight that you'd help us. Lord, touch our young people that are here this week with us. God, may your hand be upon them. We love you. We honor you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.